Inge Ashing.
Thank you. And I also want to thank you all for the good interventions. I was asked a question around the safety of humanitarian aid workers, so I will address that, and then I want to address some of the other comments made as well. So I think what is really critical is that we all take our base in principle humanitarian action, and that everything we do is grounded in that. But when that is undermined, that is when aid workers are facing increased risks. And according to our agreed system, aid workers are protected by the international humanitarian law, but we don't see that adherence to that law as we need to across the world. And what we see more and more is that the work of aid workers is not always understood and accepted by all parties to conflicts. So we see more and more threats and more risks when we try to respond on the ground. And we also see when aid workers are being attacked, there's often impunity for attacks against aid workers. No one is held accountable. And that is it's incredibly important that stops and that attacks do not remain unpunished. There is a UN Security Council resolution from 2016, Resolution 2286, that addresses the protection of medical staff in conflict. But the problem is that it's poorly implemented, and we need member states to ensure that they are stepping up and collectively enforce that resolution and also step up to support aid workers and international humanitarian law. Another question was, what do we need member states to do? And I want to say that as humanitarian actors, of course, we can and will continue to respond to immediate needs. But as others have been saying, the primarily responsibility lies with the states and the involved actors. And what we need to see more of, I believe, is member states to invest in diplomatic efforts, to strengthen their commitments to preventative measures, champion peace-building initiatives, because as long as we have conflict, as long as we are in that increasing conflicts around the world, we will not see any change. And of course, I, as everyone else, want to say that there is an urgent need to close the funding gap, and I welcome the comment from Sweden around flexible and multi-year funding. That is exactly what we need. For aid organizations, we need to put children's rights at the center of our humanitarian response. And that there was a question, how can we address the rights of women and children when there is no law? But I think if we do not step up and protect the rights of women and children when there is no law, when should we do it? So I think it's even more important in the most chaotic and challenging context to do so. And that means considering their views, their experiences, and their context when we respond. I just want to end to say something about the people, because we've all been using a lot of numbers, but it's all about the people affected. And I often... I'm so impressed by the resilience that children that I meet show. And I was in Mozambique a while back, and I met a 14-year-old girl. She was, due to conflict and internal displacement, she was the head of her household. She was responsible for herself and three siblings, the youngest only being 3 years old. And she had been the primary caretaker for her siblings for 2 years. So when she was 12, she was made responsible for her family. They had nothing. They only owned the clothes that they were wearing. And when I sat down and spoke to her, I asked, I mean, what is your thoughts about the future? What are your dreams? What are your hopes, your aspirations? And she said, of course, I want a proper house. I want a place for me and my brothers to live. But most importantly, I want us to have a future. So I'm really, really focused on my own education. And I am really, really hard on my brothers that they need to go to school, because we can all be part of a positive solution for Mozambique. And I believe that if I get the right support, I will be part of that solution. So I think it's a very dire and challenging situation, but there is so much resilience around the world. And if we give people the right support, the right means, they will be part of a positive change. So that I think we all need to stand behind and support.